Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and for the time being, we'll read verse number 10. Luke 13 and 10. And he, that's Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Once again, we are pleased to have you here, to have a good number out with us, as looks like at least you remember to set your clocks back an hour, so we're appreciative of you being here, as we have been afforded another opportunity by the Lord to assemble before Him and give Him our worship, our honor, and our praise. There was a chemist, a biologist, and a statistician, and they were best friends, and they decided they would go out hunting. And they're all three up in a tree stand, and they see a big buck, and it's just within distance. And so the chemist takes his shot first, and he misses 5 feet to the left. The biologist takes his shot next. He misses 5 feet to the right. The statistician says, "Yes, we got him." Some of you aren't awake this morning. Statistically, you got him. Dwayne, where are you when I needed you? Well, the lesson's better than that joke. I knew it wouldn't go over well. See? I'll pray for y'all later. Okay, so what we're doing this morning is I want to look at a story in the Luke, the 13th chapter. And it's a play on words for our title. I'll go ahead and tell you that now. Don't get bent out of shape. If you didn't get that joke, don't get bent out of shape. It'll be okay. You either get it later or we'll just never tell it again. In the book of Luke, Luke records certain stories in a way that nobody else does. Luke is writing to prove that Jesus was a man. Luke being a medical doctor, Luke being a Greek, he wrote about things in a different way than Matthew, Mark, and even John did. That's why we are blessed that we have four different gospel accounts, each one telling a different side of the story. Once we get into Luke chapter 13, he begins a recording about a time when Jesus is approached by some of the Galileans. Some who were mad about what Pilate had done. Apparently, Pilate had gone in, while some of the people of Galilee, that's what made them a Galilean, they were in a place of worship offering sacrifices. And Pilate went in and slaughtered them, or had them slaughtered, so much so it said that their blood was mingled with the blood of those that were sacrificed. You couldn't tell what was animal blood versus what was human blood. And so then the question is, what exactly has happened here? And Jesus answers them in verse 2, answers their thoughts. He says, "Suppose you that they were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered these things? I tell you, nay." He says, "Except you repent, you shall also likewise perish." People come up to Christ and they're asking about this, and he answers their thoughts because they're trying to think that these Galileans, as it were more sinners than they were. And he says, "What do you think? You're better than them?" No. "If you don't repent, you will suffer a similar destruction." Now, Pilate may not come in and slaughter you per se, but if you don't repent of your sins, your punishment is death. And then he talks about another event in verse number 4 where there's a group of 18 people and apparently they're building a tower near the Pool of Siloam, because we read about Siloam elsewhere. And in building this tower, 18 of them are working and they fall over. The tower literally crumbles. He says, "Do you think they were worse sinners because the tower fell over?" He says, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you'll also perish." He said, 18 people perished in that. If you don't straighten up and fly right, you'll have a similar destruction. And then he tells them a story about a man that has a fig tree, verse 6, planted in his vineyard. And Jesus came, the man comes to seek fruit thereon and doesn't find any. And he says to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, 3 years I come seeking fruit and I find none. Why don't you cut it down? Why is it cumbering or bothering the ground?" And he said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it out, and I will dung it or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Now it's very interesting to note, in the personal ministry of Christ, he has been preaching for about 3 years at this point. And he's using this as an example of saying there are people who are not getting what he's saying. He's out there planting the seed, but their trees are not bearing fruit. And so somebody wants to cut them down. He says, leave them alone one more year and it will all click. The tree will start bearing fruit. Well, we know within a year's time from this, the Lord's church would be established. He would die upon that cross. And then on that first Pentecost, the church would be established. So he tells that story. A parable about the people around him and how receptive they are, but not obedient. And then we get to our lesson text for today, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now, when we talk about getting bent out of shape, sometimes we do it over circumstances in life, and that is not the best way to handle things. Things don't go someone's way, and they mope, and they pout, and they moan. Sometimes I think when people don't get their way, the only thing I can think of is King Ahab in the book of Kings, where he didn't get his way and he sits on his couch and cries. And his wife said, you're the king of Israel. Why are you moping? But when people don't get their way, it just breaks some people's hearts. And that's not the way to handle situations. Now, I will say, sometimes you have no control over getting bent out of shape. Maybe events happen in your life and that's just a temporary way to react to them. But as I mentioned, our title's a play on words. In our lesson text of verses 10 through 17, there are three things that are bent out of shape. And I want us to study those together. Look here, number one, there is a bent out of shape lady. There's going to be a lady in our text who's been out of shape. Read with me, if you will, verses 10 through 13. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Now, something interesting we need to know in verse number 10. Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath day, that final day of the week, our Saturday, a day for them, for the Jewish people, to rest. There were certain activities that could be done on a Sabbath day, but they had to be light work, and you could only journey so far. So you didn't break the Sabbath, because that was very taboo in the Jewish mindset. So as Christ is teaching, there comes to him, verse 11, a woman, and she has a problem. She has a spirit of infirmity, and the Bible says for almost two decades, for 18 years, this woman had to endure some kind of physical hardship where she has bent over, because the Bible says she can't lift herself up. Now, I did some digging on that. What exactly that means in Greek, nobody could agree, but there was some kind of alteration to her physical stance. Maybe she was hunched over like this. Something was wrong and she could not straighten herself up no matter how much she wanted to. Of course, that's the human body ages, it does tend to maybe want to stoop over one way or another, but this seems to be an over-stooping, if you will. For 18 years, this woman is literally been out of shape, and she can't move, and she deals with this, and her life is now accustomed to living where maybe she can only reach certain things, maybe doesn't even remember what life was like before she had this debilitating injury. And so she is bent over, yet I want you to notice, where is she when she's bent over? Evidently, she's there at the synagogue, because verse number 12, Jesus sees the woman. Now, for Jesus to see the woman, she'd have to be near where Jesus is. So evidently, she has gone to the synagogue as if to worship despite her infirmities. Despite not feeling well, despite being bent out of shape, she is there at the synagogue. And I want you to notice, her priorities are straighter than some of the people around her who are walking upright, who are walking erect, because she was there to worship. And if back then was anything like now, I know there were people who should have been there and they weren't. Because sometimes people get their priorities wrong. And they think, well, I can go worship God next week. I can be faithful to God tomorrow. Tomorrow turns into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turns into year, and before you know it, you get one of those little folded pieces of paper at the funeral home that has a start date and an end date and their picture. Some people never get their lives straightened out, and that's a shame. Don't put off obedience. This woman, despite everything that was going on to her, she was there to worship. So notice Jesus, verse 12, calls her unto him and says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Now this is one of the passages in Scripture I wish I could have been there for. There's a lot in the Old Testament. There's a lot in the New Testament. Most of the ones in the New Testament is I want to be there when somebody was healed. Like when somebody was blind and for the first time they actually saw things. When someone who had been lame, had been paralyzed their whole life, when they could all of a sudden walk and carry their bed out, I would have loved to have been there just to see the look of joy and appreciation for Jesus on their face. But I would like to see her as well. Because notice here, he, verse 13, put his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And that's all the Bible says. In my mind, she's bent over and Jesus touches her. And as she stands up for the first time in 18 years. And oh, I just love to stretch after I've been sitting down for too long. And as she comes up, she begins praising God. She was literally bent out of shape. Oh, how different her life would be now. She could function normally again in society. She probably wouldn't have to have people assist her with daily activities. She can live her life again. In 18 years, she was this way. But I want you to notice as we close out with our lady, she was bent out of shape. Dear friends, I would much rather have a bent out of shape body and straight priorities than straight bodies and bent priorities. See, she was physically bent out of shape, but spiritually she's there to worship, and she's rewarded for that. I would rather have that kind of things. Something physical that would be a hindrance and yet have all my priorities doing thus saith the Lord than to walk upright and never attend worship service. I don't know about you, but that's just me. See, there is a lady who was literally bent out of shape. But let's move on, because not only is there a lady, there's a leader. And he's been out of shape, but not in the same way the lady was. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered Jesus with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come to be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. See, he's been out of shape. He's got the wrong attitude behind this. He's not physically bent over like this woman was, but his mindset's bent over. His mindset is not as it should be. This ruler of the synagogue, see, the problem is in the Old Testament times, worship to God was more special because they actually did what God said. But a lot of times, especially in the gospel accounts, it was a polluted kind of worship, where the Jews had really more traditions than they had teachings. And so you had to do a certain thing in a certain way and dress in a certain way. And some of that's required by God. But they would bind upon them laws and traditions that weren't even standing. And this ruler of the synagogue, if he's like any of the other rulers of the synagogue, or religious elect I read of in Scripture, was very egotistical. He might have been one of those that liked to hear the sound of his name, especially if you said his name, comma, ruler of the synagogue. Yes, that's me, that's me. I want you to notice here, he has been out of shape. First off, he doesn't even use the right tactic. He is mad. Jesus comes in, places his hands on this woman, and then this man, the ruler, is mad at Jesus and turns to the crowd to address them. Oh, no, 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 no. That's a big no-no there. Go with me to Matthew 18. And verse number 15, I want you to notice what he should have done. Jesus healed the woman. Ruler of the synagogue, mad at Jesus, and turns to the crowd. What does Jesus say, which is just echoing off of Old Testament law, which they were bound under at the time? He says, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. See, his tactic's off. if John comes up and does me wrong, I'm not supposed to stand up in front of everybody and say, John did me wrong, and here's what he did. No. I go to John, hey, you did me wrong in this. I was upset, I was cheated, whatever the case may be. Biblically, I go to him first. He hasn't done anything wrong. I wouldn't do that. At least not first. I would take the biblical route. I'd go to him, but notice, if that doesn't work, verse 16, then I'd take back more witnesses. Then I take two or three people with me, that in the mouth, quoting from the Old Testament, of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. And if that doesn't work, verse 17, then I take it to the church. Does that mean that as soon as it's said before the church, we disfellowship him? No. That means every member of the Church of Christ that meets here at Arlington goes to him. If it truly something is wrong, we each try to reach out to him. Hey, maybe he's off in this. Maybe he's off in that. Hey, you need to make your life right. You need to stop being bent out of shape. You need to straighten up. But when you bring it before the church, you don't immediately disfellowship. You bring more people in on this, and then notice, but if he neglect hear the church, let him be unto these a heathen and a publican. That's the proper church discipline. I go to them first, then I bring two or three people with me, and then I bring it to the church, and then we all go to him or her. And if that doesn't work, then they are disfellowship. See, I don't read of this religious leader doing any of that. He's mad. And dear friends, I'm going to tell you, when you get mad, that's the worst time to make important decisions, when you're mad. Go back and read most of the Psalms. David says, Lord, please don't rebuke me in your anger. Lord, if you'll just calm down first, I deserve punishment, but I need you to calm down. Because if you don't, it's not going to work out well for me. Don't make a decision in anger. Those are really hard, angry words to take back. See, here in our lesson text, Luke 13 and 14, he's mad. This ruler is filled with indignation. And he immediately turns to the whole crowd and says, you should not do this. I tell you what, it is sad, downright embarrassing, how his lack of compassion is. How little compassion he has on somebody who has had a physical ailment. Now, sometimes people are struggling with things and we never see it. I get that. You may be battling with something. That's a you thought kind of thing. And if you are, I'm praying that you get over it. But I don't necessarily know about it. But when somebody comes in and is stooped over and can't walk, I kind of can gather what they're going through. Because that's a physical representation of a difficulty. And he has no compassion over his fellow man or over his fellow woman. And he is supposed to be the ruler of the synagogue. He's supposed to be the one that's welcoming and making sure people are doing, thus says the Lord. And yet his attitude is as far away from God as you can get. Now, I've often wondered, but I'll never know, what if he had been bent over for 18 years? What if he had been bent out of shape this long and Jesus had healed him? Would he still have said, no, you can't heal on the Sabbath day? I don't think he would have. See, because then it would affect him. He's been out of shape because he has the wrong attitude. If I see someone else who is doing well in life, maybe has gotten a promotion, maybe has gotten a raise, maybe gotten a new this or a new that, I'm happy for them. It doesn't have to happen to me. I'm happy for them. Somebody who has been sick and now healthy, and I'm so glad, as Brother Dwayne prayed in our prayer, that we've had a good number of people who were sick and are now back with us, and I thank God for that every day. But I'm not angry that they're better and I'm not. I am rejoicing because they are better. He's been out of shape. He's got the wrong mindset. You've got the lady who has literally been out of shape. You've got the leader who has the wrong mindset. But let's look at our final thing, been out of shape. That's the law. The law under question is also been out of shape. Look here in Luke 13, beginning in verse 15. Then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. The law has been out of shape in the way that they're trying to apply it, or maybe I should say misapply it. Jesus humiliates them very pointedly. Basically says, you're a hypocrite. because you go out and do more for your animals than you do for this woman. Well, yeah, of course, on the Sabbath day, your animals still got to eat. So you take him from the stall. You would make sure he has food to eat. You would make sure he has water to drink. Jesus elsewhere talks about if you're going along on the Sabbath day's journey, it was all you could journey on the Sabbath day. If you're going along and your donkey falls in the ditch, do you say, well, too bad? Jesus said, no, you'd pull him out because you're supposed to take care of your animal. He says, you're an embarrassment. You, Mr. Religious Leader, you are more concerned about keeping this law, and yet you're also more concerned about taking care of your animals than this poor woman. And he really upsets them when he calls her a daughter of Abraham. That means she's a Jew. That means she knows the law. That means she's abiding within the law. Of course, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The whole law was written for him, and he knew what he could do and how to do it. In fact, I find it funny that most of what Jesus did healing-wise happens on the Sabbath. I think to irritate the religious elect of the day, but that's just my opinion. Once you notice here what Jesus says in a parallel account in Matthew chapter 12, in verse number 12. Back up to verse 11, that's what I was talking about falling in the ditch. What man shall there be among you have sheep and one fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold onto it and lift him out? So that was what we call work, dear friends. And you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. That's exerting energy. How much more then is a man better than sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. You're supposed to do good on the Lord's holy day. Jesus says, I'm just doing good. But his commentary is different than what the religious leaders had their commentary on it. And given the choice between two of them, I'm going to take Jesus' commentary on the matter all day long than the quote-unquote religious elect of the day. See, their law's been out of shape, so they're trying to misapply it. You can't pick and choose how you want to apply a law. You either apply it or you don't. It's one or the other. But I want you to notice their faith has been out of shape so much it no longer even resembles what was once delivered. Notice here what Jude says. In Jude, the third verse. We say that there's only one chapter of Jude. So Jude, verse number 3. Get through all the little Johns. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yet the problem is, some people's faith gets so bent out of shape and gets so twisted that their faith doesn't even look like the one that was earnestly contended for. The one that was to be safeguarded, protected, not mangled, and not twisted. See, today too many Christians carry around their Mishnahs, a select group of laws that the Jewish people held. And they held these laws so special that they would disregard the other laws. Today, there are Christians and church-going people and people of the world who only want to hold on to certain parts of God's law. And it's like they write their own copy of God's Word and they put it between their arms and they hold on to it. But if it's not in there, they don't listen to it. No, we don't get to pick and choose. But go back to our lesson text. See how this story closes. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Well, I would be too if Jesus Christ had just called me out for being a hypocrite and I was being a blatant hypocrite. They were ashamed. They were remorseful. It's one of those days they probably wish they didn't get out of bed, that they would have been sick, that somebody else would have been in charge that day. Anything to get them out of that situation, but that doesn't work. But notice here, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. So don't get bent out of shape. A lady was physically bent out of shape. A leader was mentally bent out of shape. And the people had bent the law so far out of shape, it almost didn't look like the law. As we wrap this up, I do find it interesting at the start of the chapter that Jesus talks about 18 people who fell with the pool or in the tower by Siloam, and here this woman has been infirm for 18 years. To me, he's driving home the point. If you keep saying the same thing over and over again in the same passage, it's there for a reason. So learn from it. Take hold. What's with the tower? Repent or perish. What's with this one? Don't get bent out of shape. But sadly, dear friends, what happened to this lady continues to happen spiritually today. Now there are people in the church building this very morning at churches all over this county and this world, and they're walking upright with no physical disabilities at all. But spiritually speaking, they're all bent over. They're all bent out of shape. Don't be like this lady, spiritually speaking. People are bound by Satan. They're unable to stand upright in the presence of God. Yet Jesus cast out this infirmity. And through the power of Jesus Christ, by submitting in Him to baptism, He can cast out Satan out of your lives. It's called repentance. Removing the wicked and putting Christ in. And then you can stand upright in the presence of God. You can stand whole. You can also stand justified and not be ashamed of sin. Don't be like the lady, spiritually speaking. Don't be like the religious leader, spiritually speaking. Good news is God's word today has not been out of shape because we just read, "Do thus saith the Lord." We don't add our own opinions. We don't take out verses we don't like. We do the whole thing. That's how you're pleasing unto God. So why not accept what Jesus can do for you today? He can spiritually heal you and physically make you happier. Dear friends, if you're not a Christian this morning, no other way to put it, but you've been out of shape. If you haven't put on Christ in baptism by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going down that watery grave, coming up a new creature alive in Christ, you've been out of shape. But Jesus will straighten you out. We'd love to immerse you into Christ this very morning. If you are a Christian, but you've gone back to the world, you're not striving for that faith that was once so earnestly delivered. You've been out of shape as well, but Christ will still straighten you out again. But you've got to be willing to leave the world and come back to Him by repentance and prayer. If you need to return to the Lord or come home for the first time, whatever your need may be this morning, would you please let it be known while we stand and while we sing?